Happy Tuesday, everyone. I am Dawn Ireland, president and founder of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. This week, our featured patient is Xavier Bratcher. He was born in 2018 in Kansas. So his mom, Sarah, is joining us, and she is going to tell us about their family's journey with CDH.
I've got other kids at home, so.
That's okay. All right, I would like to introduce Sarah. And Sarah, please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, what your family dynamics are, and what life was like when you first heard the words, could you all die from diaphragmatic hernia?
Well, my name is Sarah. I'm from McPherson, Kansas. I have six children. My youngest is my CDHer. He's definitely a miracle for sure. My story started, when was that? May 14th, 2018 is when I first heard those words at his anatomy scan. His dad, him and I are not together, but his dad was at the appointment with me, and he realized it was taking a little bit longer for the sonogram, and I just thought they were being thorough. But then they came into the room and told us what was going on and what we were looking at. And they told us about Texas Children's Hospital in Houston and how they were doing a fetal surgery to prenatally to help these babies. But in order to qualify, we had to have an amnio. So I did the amnio. It took them three tries to get the needle into the right spot. And we had to wait for the test results. I don't remember much about that day, honestly, other than crying all the way home because his appointment was an hour away. So I had an hour drive all by myself just to scream, cry, pray, whatever, to do whatever. And I did a lot of praying that day for sure. It was life-changing, I guess you could say, definitely. I had four other pregnancies that were healthy. I have twins, and even with my twins, I didn't have anything like this. So it was definitely a shock to me what was going on, and ended up, we found out the reason why we got referred to Texas Children's was one of the doctor we saw in Wichita. One of her nurses had gone down to Texas Children's, and that's how she knew about the fetal surgery and everything. And ended up when I finally met the lady down at Texas Children's, found out she grew up 10 miles north of where I live. So it was kind of crazy, definitely a godsend that we were put in the right place at the right time. About 2 months after we found out about the CDH, I was down in Texas, away from my other children. I had friends and family that helped take care of them while I was down there. I had 2 days of testing at Texas Children's where they did MRIs and sonograms and all sorts of just different testing, genetics. We had to meet with them. And just 2 days just was a whirlwind. We found out we did qualify for the fetal surgery. He was severe. They told me he had less than 15% chance of survival. He had his intestines, spleen, part of his liver and stomach up in his chest, and his heart was pushed way to the right. He did not have any heart defects, which was wonderful, a miracle really. So we qualified for the feto, and not even a week later, I was on the operating table and they did the feto. And pretty much what that is they place a balloon in the trachea to help with lung growth. The balloon stayed in for about, 8 weeks, and they removed it. And they said, usually after they remove it, moms usually go into labor. Well, week later, I was still pregnant. They were doing just monitoring him, and his heart rate started to, he was starting to have D-cells. And so they decided it was time to do an emergency C-section. He's my only C-section baby too. So he's definitely been keeping me on my toes since day one, for sure. So after they rushed me to the emergency room and had the C-section, they intubated him, got him to the NICU pretty quickly. He was in a NICU level 4. They didn't think at first he would need ECMO. He went 5 days before he had to be placed on ECMO. And that was probably the hardest thing. His dad did come down for his birth. Well, did come down after he was born. He stayed 4 days. The day that his dad left that evening, he was placed on ECMO. So I was there by myself for ECMO and everything else. After he was placed on ECMO, the next day he went and they did his repair surgery. They did say that he was missing 75% of his diaphragm, and that his left lung was a lot bigger than they thought. And they really felt that the fetal surgery was a success because of how large his left lung was. But NICU journey was definitely a roller coaster ride. After he was off ECMO and he got his repair, they had to remove the chest tube. They thought he was ready for it. Well, about a day later, they had to put it back in. And I just kind of learned with him to at least a day or two, we have to wait and see how he responds to things. When they do weans on his oxygen or any other type of wean, they always had to wait. I was told myself, wait a couple days, see how he does. Because there was about when he was 2 months old, they decided to skip high flow, and they went from CPAP to nasal to low flow. Well, they thought he was all doing good, and then 3 days later, he crashed hard, and they almost had to reintubate him, which for me was just devastating to see that, because I thought he was doing so well, but just another setback. But within a month after, not even a month later, he was on high flow and then low flow, and he ended up coming home after 19 weeks in the NICU. And just on nasal cannula, low flow, quarter liter of oxygen. He did have an NG tube when we came home, which I used breast milk for. I pumped a lot when I was in the NICU, so I always had a ton of milk for him. One thing that I was told when he was born was that more than likely I would not be able to breastfeed him because these babies need more calories. I was very fortunate when he was 3 months old. His doctor at the time in the NICU told me I could try. And he took right to it like he had been doing it since birth. And ended up, my milk was so fatty, he didn't need the extra calories. So I was thankful for that. That was one thing I wanted to do. And I actually nursed him till he was 17 months old. So 14 months ago, I got to nurse him, which is longer than any of my other children. And I know that he probably needed that more than they did because of everything he's gone through. I think once we got home, it was me and two of my children at home. Two were still with other family members. And it was interesting for sure doing it all by myself, but it's been definitely a roller coaster ride, definitely a joy to have him. He is definitely a miracle. Now, since we've been home, he now has, he has a specialist that he sees. He sees his cardiologist and pulmonologist every three months. And then he also he has to go to the vision specialist and pediatric ophthalmologist, and he sees them about every 3 to 6 months. He does PT, OT, and speech 5 days a week. So Monday through Friday, we are at the therapy office doing therapies for him. We did find out that the cause of his CDH was from a FOXP1 genetic mutation, which caused his CDH. It caused his horseshoe-shaped kidney, his developmental delays, and some of his eye problems too. And So we know that a lot of this is linked now for him. It's like, so it's been a journey. So now we're meeting with a geneticist, and we're meeting with a kidney specialist too, which that's actually where I was earlier. But it's just, it's not an easy road for sure, but I get through it. It's harder probably doing it on my own than a two-parent family, but I do have my children. My other children are older, so they help out a lot, but it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah, that's a lot, but it sounds like he did amazingly well.
He really did. I mean, I fully believe that that fetal surgery helped save his life, especially since he came home just on nasal cannula and not a trach or anything else. So
yeah, that's amazing. And breastfeeding, which is always great for these kids, that's pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
So how old is he now?
He is 2.5.
So what is he like? Does he play with cars, watch TV?
Well, because of the FOXP1 genetic mutation, he is delayed. So he does like Coco Melon. He loves Wheels on the Bus, which I contribute that to his physical therapist down at Texas Children's. She always sang that to him, and that's always been his favorite song. So if he's mad, I play the song. And it works wonders. He stops crying. But I mean, he plays. We also have it's called Mick Kids here in Kansas. They come into the house and they do therapies with them too. They do that once a week. So we're trying. I mean, it's an uphill battle, but
it sounds like you're doing a great job. Really,
I try.
Well, is there anything that you would like to tell the other parents who are just diagnosed?
Don't give up. Don't look at the numbers, because like I said, my son had less than 15% chance of survival, and here he is thriving as a 2.5-year-old. I mean, numbers mean nothing to these babies at all. They fight and fight.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. We really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for sharing Xavier's story. We really appreciate you sharing your journey with us. If you out there listening would like to share your child's story of CDH and what your family has gone through, please visit www.cdhi.org/share-your-story. And we would love to share your journey on our blog, our website, of course, here on the radio show, on the telethon, and so much more. I am your host, Dawn Ireland. It is always a pleasure to spend time with you and to raise CDH awareness, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Claiming a light song. My cover was torn off. So right now I'll be strong. I'll be strong. Stand up for the land of Jimmy.